song is so hot.
I know, right?
Corey's totally playing my song to make me feel better.
I am. That, and I needed to.
It's a bad day, people.
Yeah. Let me be Southern. You ain't never lied, girl. Mm-hmm. I gotta say, I have been out of commission the whole weekend. I know we picked up some new people that were following the life of Petey Carey and were a little miffed at me. I'm sorry. I was sick and the Benadryl got me.
Well, I went out of town and I had a very awesome date with two very handsome little men who I then spoiled rotten. So, yeah.
You need to clarify because, you know, some people just went, really?
My nephews, I had so much fun with them.
Yeah, because, you know, people would be like, ooh, you know, you're going to get the mail.
Yes, no men, no, sorry.
Not them kind of men, just back off.
Yeah, not that kind of men, nice tries.
Cause, you know,
effort, not happening.
Child, ugh. So Ginger is over there in a monsoon or something, so she's being my wing woman this morning.
I can't believe you can't hear the thunder behind me because this is just very, very eerie looking. And oh, hey, look, the low hanging clouds are back.
You know what? Yes. You know, people that don't live in this region of the country, when they see it on TV, they're like, it looks so cool. You know how many times I get people that look so cool? I wish I was involved in that. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
No.
No, honey, no, you don't.
That's
this
like,
is crap.
Yes, that's like when we say we would love to be involved in a snowstorm because it looks like, ooh, I'm cozy and I'm indoors. You can explain to us how bad it would be. So we're telling you, this can get very, very bad very quickly. Think of quickly rising water coming after your PC and your Xbox.
Okay, there we go.
Say again? What'd you say, Ginger?
No! Oh, God, I've had that happen. No.
Oh, we got some lag.
No.
We got some lag from the Ginger Man. Okay. Wow.
Even my cell phone's not safe.
You're all right. You're all right. I got this, girl. I got this.
I'm going to cry.
Don't cry. It's all right.
Oh. Hi.
And as luck would have it, we have tons of gaming news this morning. Wow. I don't even know where to begin. Okay. Oh, before I do gaming news. Those of you who are Walking Dead fans, I don't want to give away anything, but I'm going to because they have finally decided to put me on the show. Some of you are like, what the hell is she talking about? If you don't watch Walking Dead, you have no idea. But if you read the comics, you know who I'm talking about. Her name is Michonne. And Michonne is a woman of color who carries a katana. And last night, she made her debut on the season finale of Walking Dead. And I'm telling you, I had to stand up and cheer when I saw her. Not just because she's a woman of color, but because of the katana and the fact that it looks like something I do. She had two pet zombies on a chain walking behind her. And she had ripped their jaws off and their arms off, so they were of no, you know, harm to her. But that was something I'd do. I'd have two pets walking behind me. Ex-boyfriend.
Pet likely. Zombies.
Pet zombies. She saved another one of the characters. And I know some of you are like, I haven't seen it yet. Don't tell me. Too bad for you. But she saved another character, and that's how they ended her segment. When she saved them, she beheaded him with the katana. And when they did the whole camera pan-up scene, she's got the hood on, like, you know, she's in Assassin's Creed. Again, something I'd wear completely. Tights, boots, she got the katana, she flicks the blood off of it, and then you just see her lips go into a little smirk, which you don't see the face or anything. You know?
That's hot. Keep and, talking, baby.
And then when they pan out, she's got, you know, the two zombies standing behind her with chains around their necks. I was like, that is so me. I'd be doing that in a zombie apocalypse.
Wow.
Just roll around with them on the chain. You know who you are who'd be on the chain. I'd cause you to get bitten. Okay, anyway. that was mean. So if you love the comic books, if you've not been watching the show, you've been waiting on her to come in, because I know a lot of you fanboys and girls were griping. She was supposed to be in this season. She's going to be in next season. They show the actress. I don't remember her name off the top of my head, but she's from Zimbabwe, and I'm jealous of her lips because they're all pretty and full, and I want them, and I can't have them. Anyway, I was excited to share that. Me and Molly Pop were going back and forth on Twitter last night about it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Molly Pop, and Molly Pop, this is for you. Okay.
Okay, so. We love you, Molly. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Okay, so anyway, as you guys know, as I just said, Ginger's being my wing woman because she has no inets, so she's just kind of hanging around to be the peanut gallery and inject some fun information in, because I know somebody's going to gripe, why is Ginger not doing any news? You know how they are. Why is Ginger not doing any news? Because she don't have no onions. So let me.
I'm trying. Oh. My phone is like cutting out every other second. It's horrible.
Oh, wait. Okay, that's another. That's not. I thought that was a tweet. Okay, that's a text that you all don't need to know about. Okay, so let me give you some charts really quick.
Do I get to know?
You will later. go some charts. Some charts for the week, if my voice will hold. At number 10, wow, excuse me, breakfast, stay with me. Street Fighter X. Also have number 9, your Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 8, Assassin's Creed Revelations. Coming in at number 7, Zumba Fitness. Number 6, Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games. Number 5, Mario Party 9. Dropping down to number 4, FIFA 12. Number 3, SSX. Number 2, you got your Mass Effect 3 down from the number 1 spot last week. And then number 1 game, don't ask me why, I don't know, is FIFA Street. Street!
Really, people?
I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm totally questioning your gaming taste, people. Come on.
Well, if you love it, you can pick it up from our site, a used copy for $12.99. Just click the link. It'll take you straight to our lovely link up that we have with GameStop. But you have to click it from there to get it for $12.99, which is not bad to have delivered to your house if you like playing FIFA Street. I have no idea why. I've never played it, so I'm not going to say it's not good. It's just I look at it.
Not something we would play.
No, definitely not. Okay.
No. Ooh. I played COD over the weekend. Me and a sister-in-law teamed up against my two brothers and totally wiped them all over the maps. It was so much fun. It was all about some boob power.
Jay would like to add, he says, if Mario is still on that list, he's going to kick the whole world over. Sorry, Jay. It is on the list. Mario Party 9 is the bizomb. Yes, and I had to grab that from way back in the 90s. It is the bizomb. I don't know why he doesn't like it. Mario Party is fun.
There's just something wrong with Jay. Just totally something wrong with Jay.
If he can understand GTA, you can understand Mario. Uh-huh. Just trying to tell you. All right. Oh, wow. Okay, so, wow. Where to begin with more news? Because there's tons. I mean, tons. I mean, it's like...
Yeah, what kind of news we got?
Well, first, I must share some news with you about EA. If you are a hardcore EA online support fan, you might want to sit up and pay attention. According to GI.BusinessMorning, EA Sports is discontinuing their online support for a few selected titles. They will cease to provide online support for sports, I think EA Sports MMA, EA Sports Active 2.0, and Burnout Revenge starting April 13th. Burnout Revenge? No! Wow, most of the titles on the list were released in or prior to 2010, but EA Bright Light Spare Parts only debuted in 2011, and it's on the list. Some titles like EA Sports MMA required the use of an online pass, encouraging secondhand buyers to purchase a special code for online play. They put out a statement that says, as games get replaced with newer titles, the number of players still enjoying the older games is still the level. For the 1% of all peak online players across all EA titles where it's no longer feasible to continue the behind-the-scenes work involved with keeping these games up and running. That's on their announcement page if you want to read the whole thing. Let me give you a quick rundown of the entire list. Ginger, don't cry. Boom Blocks Bash, party for Wii.
Boom Blocks Bash.
Burnout. Burnout Revenge, of course. EA Create for PC, PlayStation, Wii, and Xbox 360. I didn't even know that was still around. EA Sports Active 2.0 for PlayStation 3, Wii, and Xbox 360. EA Sports Active NFL Training Camp for Wii. I didn't know that existed. I might have wanted to play that. FIFA 10 for PlayStation Portable and Wii. The Godfather 2 for PC, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. Hey, that is still relatively new. Hey, I was going to get that. EA Sports MMA.
Not now, you're not.
Well, not now. The MMA for PlayStation 3 and 360. Need for Speed Pro Street for PlayStation 3 and Xbox. The Saboteur, Loss of the Midnight Club Access for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. And Spare Parts for PlayStation 3 and Xbox. Why? Why? Why, Ginger? Why would they do it? The Burnout Revenge. Like, I didn't sell my Burnout Revenge, like, ages ago. It's not because... I loved it. I just didn't... yeah, it's Burnout Revenge. All right. So, is that time...
You weren't in love with it anymore?
Well, there are other games came along. And, you know, sometimes I do try to keep up with the gaming Joneses, so to speak. Not all the time.
Wow.
But...
You know what? This is so guy talk for why a guy replaces a girl.
You know, just something new. And pretty face came by, and I got distracted, and, well...
That Burnout, that new Burnout passed by, and the taillights. Okay, anyway. the engine, the camshaft. Okay, so. I know, Abby. I'm off the, fresh off the Benadryl. Fresh off. All right, so it is the time of year again when a young gamer's fancy turns to Video Games Live, coming soon to a small town near you. Yes, you all complained and said... It only comes to the big cities. No, Jay. No. No, no, no. And I know that's a tweet from you. No.
What you saying, Jay? I wish I could check it. Oh, do I have internet? Oh, my God. Do I have internet?
He says, no, Burnout Revenge. Tears. It's, wait a minute. Okay, so while we give Ginger a chance to check and see if she's got internet. Oh, Ginger. Ginger has serious withdrawals when she don't have net. Okay, so while she's doing that, let me tell you, small town people, Video Games Live has been around a long time ago, since its first performance, to over 11,000 people at the Hollywood Bowl. Video Games Live has been bringing records and selling out shows in major metropolitan cities around the world for 7 years. And to help celebrate 2012 as being its 10th year in business, Video Games Live wants to travel off the grid. We'll be performing shows not only in big city arenas and theaters and stadiums throughout the world, but other smaller venues and towns as well, kind of like bands going on tour and stopping at the small places. Video Games Live creator, executive producer, and famed video game composer Tommy Tallarico, or as we call him, Tacky, explains... I really need to find our old GDR shows because that is going to be taken totally out of context. If you haven't listened to us like from day one, you don't get the joke of why we call him Tacky. I suppose I'll tell you after I do this story. Says we continually receive thousands of emails a year from families and gamers who would love to experience our show. And he says, but it's hard to travel to major cities and have to deal with travel expenses, overnight stays, kids out of school. Ginger, are you still there? Yeah, GLaDOS has got you, but you are there. Okay, and he said, we would like to try to accommodate as many people as possible to share in the experience. He goes on to say that our goal from the beginning has always been to show the world how culturally significant and artistic video games have become. He says he wanted to create a show for everyone, whether you're a gamer or not. We always keep our ticket price as low as possible so everyone can come out and experience what we have to offer. In some locations this year, due to certain sponsorships, the ticket prices are even as low as $5 each. So surely you can afford to go, people. By performing in both large city theaters, arenas, as well as small towns, Video Game Live will increase its yearly touring number, which is already between 40 to 50 performances a year. There will be little to no change in the actual show experience, except for the fact that the stages and screens may be slightly smaller to accommodate the smaller town venues. Tommy proclaims, we love playing some of the older and classic theaters because it's much more up close and personal experience. We can really feel and hear every word from the crowd. It works great for our show, and the way we always include, and that way we always include the audience interactively. Okay, so in order to start planning the smaller area performances for 2012-2013 season, Video Games Live is asking for help from the fans. You can sign up to the Video Games Live mailing list at videogameslive.com and make sure to include your city, state, and country information along with the games you'd like to hear, which will be used to create the set list for that show. Yes, it's going to be a set list. Hot, right? Yes.
Totally hot.
Right. So at the top of the 10 cities, a list of the top 10 cities will be released next month, and it will be added to their 2012-2013 tour. So each audience member of the 10 cities chosen will receive a free poster, program, and Video Games Live album download when they attend the show. Right now, what's on the list to start this week? The 21st of March, they're going to be in London, Ontario. So that show, they have tickets on sale for all these I'm about to mention. March 23rd, they in St. Charles, Illinois, April 4th, Red Banks, New Jersey, April 7th, Bethesda, Maryland. They're going to do two shows there, one at 2 p.m. and one at 8 p.m., and El Dorado, Arizona, at the Municipal Auditorium at 7:30 p.m., and all those are on sale now. I don't know the prices, I suppose I could be nice and look. Let me see.
Corey is never nice.
Well, it's the Benadryl. Aww. And it's not loading, so y'all might not get nice today. Tacky, I'm going to need you to fix your page. Well, the reason why we called Tommy Tallarico Tacky is because, for one, it sounds cute. Two, the first time we had him on our show, we had a major faux pas where we didn't know the tape was still rolling.
Oh, no.
The really bad part is we weren't even live at the time. We weren't doing live shows then, but we didn't realize the tape was still rolling. So we added in all the lovely background sounds, you know, that you all do now when you do a pre-recorded podcast. Yeah. And went back to listen to the show, or I did, and I was like, I want to hear the show. So I used to have time to go on. And when it got to the end, it just kept rolling, and there was all kind of stuff just being said that I'm sure Tommy didn't want said, and some of it was a little on the tacky side. Not so much, it's tacky when heard by other people, but he was, you know, we at that point had gotten to know each other. So yeah. It was not. So that's how we ended up giving him the name. And it just sounds cute calling him Tommy Tacky. So it's Tommy Tacky, but ooh, I'm going to have to find that particular show. I think if we did go back and edit.
GLaDOS let go of me before I stab you in your face. Okay, oh, my God.
She let you go. What you say now? Quickly, before she grabs you again.
This is in a self-recorded live.
I know you said something about recorded live. You better type it. The GLaDOS has got the ginger. Let my ginger go. GLaDOS has got you in the hurt locker, baby.
I know.
She's like, what you trying to say, Ginger? Oh, I don't think you're going to say it. Okay.
You know what? I'm going to switch back to the phone because at least I talk.
She said that's why Snow is so averse to being recorded live. That would be why. But she wasn't around then, but she still heard the stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Things go wrong, horribly wrong. Well, no, it's fun wrong. All right. More. Oh, Ginger. Oh, ow, Ginger. Ooh. Wow. Okay, so Ginger really messed up our ears just then. All right. Some more lovely gamer news. Have you guys been watching the trailers for World of Tanks? Yeah, I know some of you were like, saw it like I didn't and went, why would I want to play that game? But it's apparently doing well. According to GI.biz, a free-to-play MMO World of Tanks is generating double-digit million-dollar profits a month. This is according to Wargaming CEO Victor Kisley. As the game has grown to over 20 million registered users, developer Wargaming.net, you know, the people who Blaster has some serious man crushes and bromances going on with, has scaled with it. It said 18 months ago, the business consisted of 120 employees, primarily based in Minsk. Today, it is approaching 800 staff around the world. Now, they said if you count last year and a half, we're talking about World of Tanks, by the way, they said we might be the fastest growing company ever, headcount-wise and revenue-wise, that is. He says when you see the number of Twitter, Facebook, and even Google for a year, the numbers and half of we probably outperformed them. Ooh, don't get your head too big there. Keep it low. Of the 20 million registered users, Kisley is proud of the number of players paying for content in the game that are among the highest for any free-to-play title. He says we probably have one of the highest payment ratios in the industry. It's around 25% to 30% because people love the game. So Kisley, like all execs in the free-to-play space, he says he's guarded when he's asked about profits for the MMO, but he's happy to talk numbers in a game that doesn't have a high barrier to entry or pester the player to spend cash at every turn. He says those would be millions of dollars of profits a month. He said, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so this story is extremely long.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that's when I'm like, I am not reading all this. So anyway, check out wargaming.net if you want to see all the hubbub is about World of Tanks. I am not understanding what the hubbub is about myself. You drive around the tank and blowing up people. I would think the novelty would wear off quickly. But maybe there's something else to it that they're not showing us. I don't know.
Yeah. I have a couple of stories. You can actually hear me, and I'm not.
We can hear you.
Yay! Oh, my gosh. I just switched back to my phone. I mean, you keep breaking up, so I can hardly hear you on this side, but at least you can hear me.
Yay! Okay, go ahead.
All right. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. Campus gamers need your help for a worthy cause. We love us some worthy causes. Yes, we do. All right. On May 4th, Campus Gamers will launch the 2012 Education and Gaming Symposium at California State University, Bakersfield. Leaders in the game industry will be attending this event to illuminate attendees on how the games they play can be used to improve education. We've got a couple of confirmed speakers. We've got James Portnow from Extra Credits, Leslie Redd from the Director of Educational Programming at Valve, and Jeffrey Zatkin from EEDAR. EDAR? Yeah. All right. So the student group founded by Edward Webb says that Campus Gamers isn't just a group that gets together to play games. They organize events like 2012 Education and Gaming Symposium and do things like help high school or local high schools to secure tools and software that can be used to enhance educational programs and teach high schoolers about game development and technology. By the way, this is awesome. They say to that end, Campus Gamers launched a Rocket Hub fundraising page with the goal of raising $5,000 to help pay for the Education and Gaming Symposium and to fund what it calls the Connect Project. The goal of the Connect Project is to purchase or acquire 35 Connect motion sensors and software development kits to be donated to the 35 high schools in Kern County where CSU Bakersfield is located. So far, they have managed to raise $1,050, well short of their $5,000 goal. They say if you'd like to help them meet this goal, you can check it out at their Rocket Hub page, which is, oh, good Lord, rockethub.com/projects/5568-campus-gamers-education-gaming-symposium.
Good Lord.
Oh, that's the link, yes. All right, so their Rocket Hub page only has 7 days left, so if you can go over there and help them out, please do so.
Oh. Well, at least you're trying to do something good.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
We like good.
If I could just breathe and stuff, we'll be good. Here we go. Well.
All right.
I'd be glad when I get over this. Lack of oxygen is not a good thing. So some of you have been waiting for the Defenders of Ardenia demo. None shall pass. Of the opportunity to give Defenders of Ardenia a try on the Xbox Live Arcade and Windows PC. Paradox Interactive, one of our favorite companies, and Deep Silver as well, have released a trial version for the Defenders of Ardenia for Xbox Live Arcade and all for the PC. And they say they're bringing the innovative new tower defense and offense game to console conquerors everywhere. Defenders of Ardenia, which made its iOS debut in December, is now available for download via Xbox Live Marketplace and includes an epic single-player campaign as well as bloodthirsty online battles through multiplayer modes. Defenders of Ardenia players must not only manage their defenses against waves of marauding fiends, but deploy their own armies to survive the enemy towers and win the day. Players can also pick up Defenders of Ardenia on Xbox Live Arcade for a mere 1,200 Microsoft points. Spend those up because you know they're going to be going away soon. You can check out the PC demo, and there's also an iPad trial version as well at defendersofardenia.com/... I can't give you that. Never mind. Whoops. Sorry, guys.
Whoops. She almost did it.
I did. Oh, my God. You know what? I'm going to need y'all to separate out those sections first. They just kind of dropped it right in the middle. Ooh, that would have been.
I know. They've been doing that a lot lately because I several times almost posted them and then been like, oh, no, wait a minute. That's not supposed to be here.
People be like, ooh, well, I got it.
You know, if you include that so close to where, you know, our posting line is. It's almost your own fault if your information gets posted like it's not supposed to.
And the back end, I never did it, but I know of some other sites in our early days who did it. They accidentally posted up some phone numbers and FTP access to some things. Ooh, it was ugly.
I bet it was, too.
It was right ugly. Oh, they sent out a message. If you cannot keep our information safe, you will not have privy to it anymore. Ooh.
Well, you know what? It helps if you don't include it right there where
the middle.
They are.
Yeah,
in the stories, yes.
Usually it's down at the bottom. And the thing is, I think they expect for everybody to rewrite these stories. And I'm like, you already paid somebody an obscene amount of money to write your press release for one, which is why we don't do it here. Yeah. We've said that before. And the general gamer does not have access to these press releases except via us. So, yeah, we just go ahead and give it to them. So if you don't put your stuff in the middle, it won't go up. But I've seen them put their information at the top, and you get to go in after a while in the morning. Ginger can attest. Sometimes you just copy-paste. And then next thing you know, some phone number's up, their personal email, and where they checked in from Foursquare yesterday, and oops.
My bad.
The picture you drank.
It wasn't me.
Oops.
Oops. It wasn't me. don't kill me.
It'd be your own.
All right, so it'd be my turn. Let me see if I can get another one. Yay, things are actually going to work for a little bit. All right, Capcom is aware of hacked Street Fighter X Tekken DLC characters being played on Xbox Live. People, why are you hacking this stuff? And, you know, you're making me have to moderate what I'm saying. This early in the morning, I'm already annoyed with the weather. You're going to get cut, okay? According to the CNBC report, Capcom is aware of hackers. Girl, I got other stuff I got to tell you once we're off air because, man, I have been irritated all day long. Capcom is aware of hacks being used to play unreleased Street Fighter X Tekken DLC content on Xbox Live and will do something about it. At first, Capcom Senior VP of Strategic Planning and Business Development, Christian Svensson, said that it was working with Microsoft to deal with these problems in this Capcom Capcom Unity thread. But later said that Capcom would get those engaging in this type of behavior on its own. Svensson said in response to user inquiry about it, yes, we're seeing news of this. Quite ballsy for folks to be taking hacked Xbox 360s on live where they are detectable. Maybe that's a hint that you're about to get a foot up your butt. In any event, we already have open channels of communication with Microsoft on these issues Friday night. If you can capture screens or video of this in action, as some have already, we're working on bans for boxes and accounts with Microsoft for hackers. By the way, people, that means bricked. That means no games for you. Oh. This thread was left open for a while to let users tattle on those who might be running a hacked version of the game online, but was later locked. Capcom left a simple message for those inquiring about it further. We'll catch them ourselves. The content in question is a 12-pack of characters that will soon be released as DLC. So see if they're going to be released anyways, people. Come on. Fans were upset to find that the DLC was already packed onto the retail disc. The 12-pack of characters will be released soon for 1,600 Microsoft points or around $20. Well, you know what? All right, hold on. I was upset with the people who hacked this up until I realized that this was already on the disc. So you planned a DLC for the game you're releasing that I bought. I bought a hard disk. I get it home and I find out, oh, you know what? The next expansion is on it and I can't use it. And furthermore, you're going to charge me for it? No, screw you. I think I'll be with these people hacking it. I'm sorry. Little irritated.
Oh, this is true.
I mean, because that's not DLC. That's just lazy.
Well, that's what they all do. That's why people are angry about expansion packs in the first place, because they are usually on your disc somewhere. That's how the hot coffee mod thing got out. I don't think it was meant to be an expansion, but we all know what happened with hot coffee. It was on there.
Yeah.
I wish. Here's what I don't think I don't like. Okay, so, and although I love me some GTA, I was rather miffed at the cost. And we all know that some of that content was already on there, already unlockable. Mm-hmm. We know this because when you play through the other two or three, you know, that they give you, the Ballad of Gay Tony, Hell's Angels, and I think there's a third one there, but I could be mistaken. I was in Liberty City for many months. But we all knew it was on there because when you play through with the other characters, you interact with the main storyline. And you see the same cutscenes, but just from a different angle. So you know they had to have been there already. I just wish they would drop the price. Why do you make it, you know, almost the cost of another game when you already know it's on the disc? You already know it's there, and all you did was when I downloaded it, it told it to unlock it. You knew it was there.
Yeah.
Charge me another $5-$10 at max. You guys are getting super, super greedy is all I'm saying. If somebody goes and hacks it and gets it open, while I don't agree with it morally, I understand because that gets expensive. Like if you got GTA and start releasing a full-fledged other game almost, It's not even a full game. It's another story. It doesn't last as long as the game in and of itself, but it was already there somewhere on the disc. We all know it was. Stop charging me $60 again. Stop charging me $40.
Yes, exactly.
Don't even charge me $20. I think $10 is good for some DLC, and I would actually pay that. But when it starts getting past it, $15, $20, $30, I'm like, uh-uh. That's the price of a game back in 2006. I'm definitely not paying it.
Yeah.
All right. I got to give some people some love, and I would not normally give them love. I don't know why I would normally give them love, because they're never mean to us. Our people at mail.rugames. Love them. Send us over a very nice press release this morning about their latest game called Black Panthers.
Ooh, I saw that.
Yes. Did you read? They very strategically worded it.
The internet decided to go, uh-huh.
Well, they have very strategically worded things about their female characters. Let me get to that in a second. If you're not familiar with mail.ru games, they publish browser-based games like Legend, Legacy of Dragons, Outlaws Online, and Juggernaut. So they're presenting some fresh features for their free-to-play browser game, Riot Zone. And so in the daily mission, Picnic at the Lakeside, commanders fight the dictator's elite sniper with the elite sniper unit, Black Panthers. In addition, the clan interface has received some updates. From now on, players have the opportunity to see what their fellow members did while they were away. Finally, commanders who love shopping can take a look at the boots that have just arrived in the store. Thanks a lot. They were talking directly to us. And there's some femme fatales in the game. That's who the Black Panthers are. Reconnaissance troops have spotted the dictator's elite unit, Black Panthers, taking a rest at the lakeside of El Lago. This all-female squad may consist of beautiful and kind-looking women, but commanders are not easily fooled. These women know neither regret nor mercy. Rumor has it that even the leader members are taking part in a little picnic for the most successful in defeating the Black Panthers. Tokens promise some new equipment. I like, and I just actually wrote them while Ginger was speaking and told them, thank you for not going for the sexy. That's how you do it. If you're going to send press releases to a female gaming site, we mind beautiful, and we don't mind being beautiful or referred to as kind, and then we'll crush you type of thing. But when you keep going for the sexy, we generally don't like it. We already know we're sexy. We don't need you to tell us. All right, so if you want to check out Riot Zone, you can go over to riotzone.net. Looks very interesting. What is going on with the ginger over there? Ginger, are you falling out of the chair? Is somebody attacking you?
Ginger is losing connection. Left. No, I wish.
Okay, and
No, Ginger just keeps getting disconnected left and right, apparently. Like, you will be talking, and I'll hear, like, wah. Yes.
Now, they did, there is a slight bit of hypersexualism, just very slight, if you go over to check out RideZone.net. I'm talking to my girls out there because we know how we are. If we go and it's a little too sexy and they don't have the recipe to go with it, we shy away. But the woman's got some fluffy cakes, but they're not super, super prominent. She does have on a half shirt, which, again, we like to point out to developers, a woman who was really fighting would be wearing a hood, katana, and tights and boots. Clearly, the people from Walking Dead get it. That's what we would wear if we were fighting. We want to be covered up because we don't want our fluffy cakes cut. That's not fun.
Yeah.
Did you like getting your fluffy
cakes? Not fun. No. Mm-mm. Well, no. No.
Yeah. All right. Oh, my goodness. Ginger, what you got?
I think, what have I got? I don't think we did this one the other day. I could be wrong. I'm from GamePolitics.com. Having Steam dominate PC market would be scary, says Notch. All right, so speaking to GameSpy, Minecraft creator and Mojang frontman Marcus Notch Person said that having Steam as the only source for digital distribution would be scary, even though he generally supports Valve Software's platform. Mm-hmm. Steam's platform is currently has more than 40 million subscribers. I think it's a bit dangerous to only have one digital distribution platform like Steam. I love Valve, but out of principle, I find the idea of one platform a bit scary. Person went on to say that competition from platforms like Desura, Origin, and Impulse is good for the market. He did say that some of the things that EA has done with Origin are not so good. Origin does a couple of things badly compared to Steam. Just a few things. Which is impressive since they had 8 years to study Steam. They should definitely have a chance to do their thing, but they might want to move away and make people use it and show people why they should use it. Mm-hmm. Origin currently has 11 million registered users, according to EA. But see, that's the thing. They're going to have to keep the titles that force people to use Origin, because otherwise we wouldn't, because you have to agree to allow EA to spy on you if you want to use Origin. And if you're like me, I'm like, guess which finger I'm showing. Not happening. I tell you, every game that you've had me play that had to use Origin, as soon as I was done, that was off my computer.
Let me tell you who those 11 million registered users are that they're touting. Those are people playing Sims, let me tell you now. And that, they did very well. The Sims, I keep saying this, they did it very, very well with the tie-in with Origin. It is seamless. I didn't have to actually open Origin, which was going to make me mad. As soon as I saw it, I was going to start screaming at the screen. So everything went over seamlessly. They've been handling the patch as well with the Sims. And their social network integration, everything is done very, very well. I have to give them a pat on the back. And you know that we are always on EA. We always got our boot on their neck telling them straighten the hell up, but they did it well. But I don't understand why they needed to include Origin in the first place. And he's right. They had time to study Steam. Why are they? It should be amazing. Origin should be absolutely amazing with all this time.
Yeah.
And I agree with him. I worry that Steam being the only, you know, being the only digital distribution platform, if for no other reason than Blaster is so in love with Steam, he cannot see the forest for the trees. This is true. The thing we most argue about with Blaster and Steam and Origin is people. Well, we'll probably continue to have this argument every week, but people out there, if you have Steam accounts, don't get us wrong. We love us some Steam and Valve with a deep passion. I am over there when I can be quite often, but I don't like the fact that people keep saying my stuff is worth blah, blah, blah. Digital.
You can't sell it.
Yeah, you can't sell the digital media the way you could a disc, so it's worth nothing as soon as you bought it. You can't say, you know, I'm hungry this week, I'm going to sell my COD and my, you know, whatever is up on Steam. You can't sell it. You can't sell it and eat, and that's what makes it not good for me. At least on Origin, I have a disc copy of The Sims, and it uses Origin to get me all the patches. It runs in the background seamlessly, but if I'm hungry and if I go to the right place, and hang around and hold up the copy of The Sims, all of my expansion packs, and I'm going to eat that day. Somebody's going to buy these off of me. If I put them up on eBay, I'm going to eat. I'm not worried. You can't sell your Steam games, and some of you are like, I give them my account. Not the same. Not the same. I don't want to hand over my account. Maybe you hungry that day, and maybe you want to keep your account, but you just want to sell this particular game. You can't.
Yes, exactly.
That is why I think digital distribution is never going to be like 100% across the board. We're going to get rid of disc medium. I think we're moving to jump drives, to smaller, you know, things in the stores, but I don't think we're ever going to have where it's completely digital, because it can't be sold. And gamers, if you're smart, you're not going for this at all. You're just not. You cannot has my game, kick it out of my cold, dead hand.
Exactly.
All right. Some interesting opinion piece just popped up over at our people at GI.biz. And this is probably something we're going to talk about Thursday night, is that this particular writer, I'm going to say his name because we like to give those guys their credit, Steve Peterson. Steve, you got some interesting opinions about how you think that new iPad can take on the consoles.
Whoa. Hold on. He thinks an iPad can take on consoles?
That's what he says.
Is he smoking?
He's talking about how great it is. And
I mean, don't get me wrong. I played with one this weekend. They're a lot of fun. They're very cute. They're, you know, they're accessible. But that's the end of it.
He's calling it Apple's Trojan horse. And, again, we'll be discussing this probably in depth on Thursday because I think it's very interesting that Apple keeps trying to get themselves into the console market. I don't think it's going to happen, Apple, at least not with this iPad 3. You're going to have to – I don't know what you're going to do, but it ain't going to be with the iPad in any of its current incarnations, because you know what I don't like as a gamer? I have to hold this screen up. And you can say, well, you could get one of those little stands, but see, that's, again, me investing money, and it starts to look more like a computer. And then, again, why don't I just get a computer?
Well, yeah, exactly.
So that's where I think the breakdown is, Apple. If you can make this thing where, I don't know, maybe it could be gesture-based, where I'm standing in front of the, you know, all I have to buy is a stand, and I can stand in front of it, and it works like the Kinect, and I can do all this stuff. I don't know. I can't tell you. You know, I don't design iPads. But it's not going to work. And he's, of course, mentioning that, oh, there was a whole big hoopla between console gamers and PC gamers where PC said, you know, we're the only real gamers. You can't really play this game on a console. There is a consensus among gamers, even though there's an argument, that we know that some games don't work on the PC and some don't work on your console. That's why people have more than one console in their house generally. I prefer, if I'm going to be playing a simulator, to not play it on a console. It's not as, you know, reactive as I would like. You play SimCity on Xbox, you're waiting for the thing to scroll over, the building's on fire, the earthquake stuff is falling in the hole, whereas on a PC, I move, I click, I'm done. If I'm playing a first-person shooter, I prefer it on the console because I have trouble with keys. I am a girly girl. I do have long nails, so I'm trying to hit the W, and I'm hitting 3, 2, and everything else in between because my nails are too long. So, no, I prefer it on the console. But that's my personal preference. But and there's
not yet
people that feel that way. So I don't think this one right here, I'm not seeing. And I have a first-person shooter, one called Assassin or something, a Pro Assassin, which looks great. But it's too much of me trying to have to hold it in one hand and screen interaction, and I need both hands because you got the gun. Can you hear me? Hello? Ginger, did we lose you? Oh, we lost.
No. I just heard a weird noise, and I was like, oh, no, what happened to Corey?
Oh, no, I'm here. But, you know, if you play that that Pro Assassin game on the iPad, you got to hold it with both hands. You got to try to cock the gun. You got to aim your reticle with the other finger, and that's too much work involved.
Yes, it sounds like it. Sounds just like a little bit of work.
I just want to kill people. That's all I want to do. Virtual people, let me be clear. So I don't know Apple, and I got to hold the the iPad 3 went by the Best Buy. Actually, last week they had one out. They weren't supposed to.
Uh-huh.
And I got to play with it for about 10 minutes, and I was like, meh. I like the color, but eh. I don't know. Apple, I don't see it. You're going to have to convince us. Give us one.
Oh, yes. Give us four. Give us four.
Yes, because we're going to fight over that one. It's gonna be
exactly.
It's going to be a whole lot of fluffy cake fashion. Mine is prettier. No, mine are pretty. Even Blaster's going to flash his.
I don't know. Me and Snow can go boob to boob.
This is true.
Chest to chest?
I'm not even in it. I'm going to have to put my backside in there. Excited. All I got.
All right. What have I got? GamePolitics.com again, because my other news thing is just not wanting to work. Senate Judiciary Committee leaders to DOJ, be vigilant against anti-competitive patent use. Ooh, very nice. All right, two ranking members of the Senate Judiciary Committee have their concerns that patents and actions related to enforcing them are stifling competition. Yes, thank you very much. We've been arguing about this for a while. Judiciary Chairman Patrick Leahy, Democrat from Vermont, and Judiciary Antitrust Subcommittee Chairman Herb Kohl, Democrat from Wisconsin, sent in a letter to the Justice Department on Thursday expressing their fears about how patent fights are being played out in courts and other legal bodies in the U.S. and around the world. Companies like Apple, Microsoft, Google, Samsung, and Yahoo have been trying to protect their interests by buying up patents outright or acquiring other companies that have patents they want and then launching legal battles against competitors. Lee and Cole warned the Justice Department in his letter that some of these practices could be anti-competitive. For example, a company asking the International Trade Commission to completely block the use of a certain patent, rather than talking with a competitor about a compromise, poses a significant threat to competition and innovation, according to lawmakers. Lee and Cole claim that they don't hold any positions on the deals, but they said they wanted to highlight the potential for companies to use patents that beat each other up with. With that in mind, they urged the Justice Department to be vigilant in monitoring the anti-competitive use of patents. And, we've been griping about this for a while, and I think I've even mentioned this several times over the past couple of weeks, Game Politics, or at least with GamePolitics.com, I think it was the ECA, was it? Released something about this?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, there was a whole comic about it and everything. So I think this is good. I don't think these companies should be allowed to do this. And you know what? This is exactly what has come back and bought Apple, or bit Apple in the ass, because they had the whole patent over in Japan for the iPads. They bought it from one company. And it turns out that, oh, no, you didn't get everything. So now they're having it come back and bite them. They may actually lose their rights to sell the iPad in Japan.
Well, since they're killing
and
people there.
And they're in the U.S. now, so, yeah.
Look at it, and
exactly.
They're killing people anyway. You know, I cannot stress this enough to Apple and to other companies that keep sending it. And I think Xbox has a couple of people overseas that build the Xboxes. Please, you all are talking about the economy. Our game companies are closing. We're losing some great, you know, game developers, or they're having to go create their own companies, which on one hand is great. But if you all could just look at your own country, and again, I mean no disrespect to anybody in any other country, but I'm all about saving your own house first. Get the jobs back over here. Let the Americans put the things together. Some people are like, I'll do anything. That's why we have homeless people walking around being hotspots, because they're like, just give me something. Pay me to do something. People need jobs. Get on the ball. Uh-oh, Ginger.
Oh, what?
Here comes the weather. The tree in my front yard is having a dancing fest, and I'm scared.
Oh, no.
Ginger, keep it still.
I told you.
Keep it
still. This weather is frightening. It's
Well, you know,
clouds have evened back out again, so that's a good thing.
It's when the low hanging clouds come by that it really worries me.
That is why, you know, that's what happens when you send it down here to me.
Mhm. Mhm. You can have it.
I don't want it. Of course, I could get in there and get me a good nap.
I don't want it either.
Because I could get me a good nap, but.
Nap. Oh, God, yeah. I know, I was thinking about that because somebody. Oh, my God. Never mind. Somebody's going to get cut. I'm not even kidding.
All right. Who out there loves them some virtual tennis?
I like real tennis.
I can never play real tennis. And I'm telling you, I tried hard. I haven't tried. Maybe it'll get better. But my hand-eye coordination before messed up. But anyway, Sega of America and Europe, in conjunction with Sony Mobile, have announced the first ever release of the Virtua Tennis franchise on your smartphone with a new Virtua Tennis Challenge. That sounds kind of hot. It's now available for select Sony Xperia devices. Ginger? Ginger?
Xperia!
I had to pause. You can get the challenge now on Google Play. I will get a price for you in just a second. I'm going to keep reading. I'm waiting for the price to load. They're saying Virtua Tennis Challenge is a well-crafted adaptation of the sport on a touchscreen. This is from Haruki Satomi, who's the Senior Vice President of Digital Business at Sega. He says, we're pleased to present a variety of customization options for characters and playstyle for virtually endless replayability. I wonder if we can get sued for me singing that, do you think?
You know what? They sue over the most ridiculous things, so maybe.
You won't get much from me. Blade of grass, tree branch, that sort of stuff. So they said in the Virtua Tennis Challenge mode, you players can choose from and customize 50 characters with unique strengths and play styles using the Xperia Plays gamepad or a touchscreen to unleash top spin smashes, slice shots, lobs, and more. The varying environments of the 18 stadiums also affect ball movement across clay, grass, and indoor courts. In SPT World Tour mode, players use the money that they earn progressing through full virtual tennis seasons, to buy into major tournaments. In exhibition match mode, players can quickly dive into a game in an unlocked court to play a single or doubles game. And since real tennis stars never play alone, Virtua Tennis Challenge also allows players to compete with friends and fellow amateurs over Bluetooth in a single or doubles play. How hot! Right?
That is very hot.
Okay. Price real cheap back $4.99. You can try out the game.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, if you can try it out, the Sony Ericsson Open in Miami, if you're over in the Miami area, and face off in real time, or get it on Google Play for your $4.99 at the Google Store. They have me so confused. The Google Play Store is what used to be the Android market.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just changed. And please, Android, stop spamming me with that crap.
Good God, I went to look for the market, and then the whole icon has changed. I was like, where is my little droid bot? And then,
I know, I liked my little droid bot.
He would be peeking out of the folder like, you know, over here for the market. And then I couldn't find him. I was like,
yeah.
Where's my boy at? Where's my droid bot?
Yes, yes, exactly. He's so cute. All right, well, I guess it's my turn again.
See.
Australia. Australia, you ass backwards people, I swear.
I have relatives there.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. They're not from there, so it's okay.
Yeah. Australia. The part of Harris and Trey Finn's actor.
What?
Yeah, Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, DAFT, or DFAT, anyways, has deflected criticism that the government's ratification of the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, ACTA, will lead to internet service providers being forced to play the role of copyright police, among other criticisms about the treaty. The agency claims that ACTA wouldn't require changes to Australian law as it is today. All I have to say is if that doesn't change your law is wrong. Okay?
Right.
DFAT Assistant Secretary in the Trade Policy Issues and Industrials Branch, George Mina, told a joint parliamentary committee on treaties Monday that there has been some misinformation in the debate about the ACTA treaty, noting that most of it has to do with Section 5, which deals with digital copyright infringement. He says activities that were illegal before ACTA was ratified will not be illegal after. ACTA will not infringe on civil liberties. ACTA will not impact on freedom of the Internet. Lies. ACTA will not require Internet service providers to monitor activities on individuals. Oh, my God, dude, have you read the Act at all? Do you even know what the hell you're talking about?
Uh-oh.
Oh. He added that ACTA would, He added that ACTA would not lead to censorship of the Internet and would not require ISPs to terminate user connections. He also said that even though Section 5 says that ISPs may be required to hand over user data at the request of right holders who believe an act of infringement has occurred, they still have to file a legally sufficient claim to get access to this information. He says these provisions represent a very small part of the agreement and are very limited in their effect. Oh my God, you've not read this at all, have you? Seriously. This is to encourage Internet providers to work with copyright owners to curb the infringing activities of the users. In his testimony, the Australian Digital Alliance copyright advisor Ellen Broads had said that before the committee that ACTA treaty would change the balance of copyright law, both in Australia and overseas. She said internationalizing Australian standards for copyright law is not a proper starting point. She continued by saying that the treaty could lead to policing of communications between users and that the scale of ACTA could extend to everyday commercial activities like including copyrighted material in an email. She says it's still open to debate in Australia as to whether our own high IP standards in Australia are appropriate. It can make it difficult to amend domestic policy in Australia's interest. Broad was also critical of the lack of transparency around the negotiations for the agreement. Yes, lack of transparency. In other words, they did this completely in secret. Had it not been leaked, we wouldn't have known about it.
Mm-hmm.
DFAT rejected this, that the government had worked hard to ensure openness. You liars. Liar, liar, sis. All right. So, Mina says, we did argue during the negotiations for the text to be released in April 2010 with the first occasion for the full negotiation text to be released. Anybody who read the April 2010 text would have seen the plethora of views and negotiating positions on the table at that time. He says it's not as though people weren't able to influence outcomes at that stage. We provided full access to our negotiating team. Liar, liar, sense. Man, I smell pants on fire, you know?
Yeah, sounds like cheap polyester. All right. Yeah. I got some good news.
What's that?
Tomb Raider vets form a new company called Lady Shotgun Games. I love their logo. It's Lady Pink Toenail Polish, and she's ready to smack you in the face with it. Two former Eidos developers have formed their own games team. Again, Lady Shotgun Gamers. That's one Miss Sarah Vaughn Rope and Anna Marsh. They were a senior producer and executive designer on two Tomb Raider titles for Eidos, with Rompe going on to work as senior producer on the SingStar franchise and Marsh heading up design at Creative Assembly on the Alien franchise. Together with a group of freelancers, Lady Shotgun is working on its first time iOS title to be released this June. The duo is quoted as saying, "We believe that workers happy with their work-life balance are more enthusiastic, more motivated, and produce a higher quality of work in less time than a traditional studio setup. We have attracted a fantastically talented and experienced team on these terms and without the need for large startup capital, and we're looking forward to bringing the first fruits of our labors to market." Joining Rompe and Marsh are lead artist Gabriella Pavan, writer and audio expert Catherine Neal, to Transformers, Le Mans Test Drive Unlimited, and designer Derek Littlewood, who did Time Splitters 2 and Second Sight. There's also story artist Celine Chu, Disney's Superbia, and coder Lauren Hill, no, not the singer, and Simon Taylor of Plastic Cow Games. This is fantastical news. Congratulations, ladies. We will be watching.
Yes, it is.
We will be watching very, very closely to see what you guys do. Very, very excited about that. All right.
I was having to give Jay Hill really quick over Twitter.
No.
He said, you're going to need unbiased, impartial judges for this fluffy cake war. Me and Blaster will call it down the middle.
Oh, yeah. I meant to tell you that earlier, but I got sidetracked. All right. While you're doing that, I do have another one, if you do not mind.
What do you got? What you got?
Remember that company, Net Zero, back in the 90s? Remember them? All over the TV?
No. I don't remember the plethora of discs that were everywhere.
Well, you, in case you were recently born, you may not know of them. So the world was surprised when in 98 they offered free ad-supported internet service way back then. Now the company is saying they'll try to bring its cost-effective approach to web access with a low-cost, no-contract 4G wireless data service. Wow. They said, or Mark Goldston, who's the CEO of Net Zero Parent United Online, said our service gives customers the freedom to take the internet anywhere in our coverage area without being tied to public Wi-Fi service or having to purchase higher costs, sometimes multi-year plans offered by other mobile broadband providers. To get access, customers first have to buy a $50 Net Zero 4G stick or a $100 Net Zero 4G hotspot. Net Zero then offers up to 200 megabytes of data usage per month for free, and then pricing escalates when you need more. As you can see, and they have something up on their website that shows the pricing structure. So if you get 200 megabytes, it is free, up to 200 megabytes. Classic is up to 500 megabytes. The Plus. And I'm sorry, that's $9.95 plus is $19.95 or $20. I hate when they do that. What is a $95? Just say $20, damn it. It's $1,000 megabytes or 1 gigabyte. Pro is $34.95 at 2,000 megabytes or 2 gigabytes, if you don't know your megas to gigas. Platinum is $49.95 for 4 megabytes or 4 gigabytes. The pricing on the lower tiers is fairly inexpensive, gives you nice flexibility, but once you start getting up to the 4 gigabyte usage level, it's actually more cost-effective to use T-Mobile, Sprint, even AT&T or Verizon Wireless. Each of those offers 5 gigabytes or 6 gigabytes of data for about $50 a month, whereas Net Zero is for $50 a month. Net Zero is backed by the troubled company we told you about last month, Clearwire, which is partially owned by Sprint. And Clearwire offers WiMAX 4G, but that type of data technology has been pushed aside for the more popular LTE. Perhaps with this new arrangement, WiMAX can find a place in the market as a lower-cost alternative to LTE. Clearwire's WiMAX network covers 82 cities currently across the U.S. and surrounding areas, so be sure you check and make sure you're in the area if you're planning on giving this a try. I guess.
Wow.
Here's, you know what, I say just go with the free, the 4G guys walking around homeless, tip them your bucks and
yeah, exactly.
Keep it moving.
Exactly.
Oh, man, Ginger. Why are you doing
what?
That's just wrong.
You just saw that. I love you, Corey.
Just wrong.
I love you, Corey. If y'all have no idea what we're talking about, you have to follow us on Twitter. You totally missing the other half of the show.
Yeah, we got to get ready to get out of here anyway because we got the seconds. Anyway, guys, you know where to find us, GamerGirlsRadio.com, GamerNatrix.com. And we will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. Hopefully we'll still be around and no tornadoes will have swept us up in their wake.
I hope not, man. This is looking kind of icky.
Yeah, I'm about to hide under my tape.
I've been working on a cocktail called Grandma.